Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Number two, Robbie and Rex Road. 1025, 1063 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Connor Newt here with you on this Thursday morning. Talking a little Vanderbilt football, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Robbie Weinstein for 24/7 Sports. Robbie, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. I'm excited for football season. I found myself watching some Olympic powerlifting yesterday. It's so boring. I think I realized, like, wow, we really need football to get here. If you're watching powerlifting, that's not a good sign.
I don't know that I've made it to the powerlifting part of this yet, Joe.
Nor have I. But there are a lot of good Olympic sports we can all agree on, right? Like badminton, which is awesome.
Rock climbing.
Rock climbing is pretty sweet.
Rock climbing was pretty sweet.
Have you seen that, Robbie?
I haven't. I've missed that.
That's kind of cool.
The extreme rock climbing is unbelievable.
Yeah, I've been enjoying, you know, the beach volleyball with that view of the Eiffel Tower and all that. So I like the variety. But I guess I got to draw the line at powerlifting.
It's probably fair. So, Robert, we've talked a lot about this Vanderbilt team heading into the year. Quarterback has obviously been a position under Clark Lea where they've really struggled to develop any sort of consistency. How do you view that position heading into this season? And do you feel like the options are there for them to make some progress in that area and find a quarterback that gives them a consistent level play? How do you view quarterback for Vanderbilt heading into this year?
I think at least it's going to fit better with what they want to do. Like last year, they're not going to have anybody like A.J. Swan, who last year, honestly, I mean, he has a really good arm. The decision-making wasn't there. But I think it was just very clear with how limited their offensive line is that they were going to need a quarterback who can run and a system that caters to a running quarterback. And so either Diego Pavia or Nate Johnson, I mean, they're both good runners. I don't know. I don't think they're going to be bombing the ball deep and really have a great passing offense. But I do think, you know, it'll probably be Pavia who ends up being the starter. And he ran for almost 1,000 yards last season at New Mexico State. So I don't know that their passing game is not going to have a high ceiling, I don't think. But if they can, they're focused on trying to turn the ball over less and at least you know, it could be a little bit irritating for opposing defenses, I suppose, when you have to fully defend whichever quarterback ends up being the starter in terms of their legs, because both those guys are very good runners.
So, yeah, so I've kind of assumed Pavia would be the guy, but Nate Johnson is an intriguing prospect too. Like you said, we're going to see a lot of QB run stuff. What else? And obviously, Clark Lea fell in love with this Tim Beck offense and a lot of what was going on at New Mexico State. How would you describe it to fans? Like what stands out about this offense? They went into Auburn last year and hammered them. What about this offense is unique or special?
Yeah, they're going to use a ton of motion, and I think it's a little bit similar to Jamie Chadwell's spread option offense, but just a little less weird, a little bit less triple optiony. Where they're going to use a ton of pre-snap motion. There are going to be lots of ball fakes and play action. Another odd thing that they're doing is that they are not doing left and right tackles and guards. So they're going to do like strong side, weak side, or they call them strong and quick guards and tackles, where they're going to flip sides depending on which hash the ball is placed on. I don't really know whether that's going to work or not, but it's definitely weird and unusual. I think Lamar Jackson's Louisville teams were the last like notable Power 5 team to use that, which I think actually Vandy's O-line coach was there during that period. But like, you know, so I don't know whether any of this is going to work, to be honest with you. I think this is one of the most difficult Power 4 teams to project because of all the scheme changes and how many transfers they brought in that are going to contribute. But it's definitely going to be weird. They're going to lean into the ground game. I think I would expect that they probably run the ball on like 60% of plays. And so it's definitely going to be different by SEC standards, if nothing else.
So, yeah, well, and that's – I mean, I love that Chadwell offense. I mean, when it gets cooking, I love it. I think we've talked about this before, but I've always thought that, like, something like that would be a good idea for Vanderbilt. Not necessarily going all the way to the option, but having a different kind of offense to hopefully make up for the – for the talent gap, right, in this league. Do you feel like if it works well, this could kind of do that?
Yeah, we'll see if they have the players to do it, but I agree with you. I mean, I think that I get the theory, because I do think Vanderbilt should try to win through differentiation, because if it's a pure talent, I mean, like, recently, the last few years, they've just been running a very typical pro spread offense, and really that the only time that they went away from that at all was during that 5-7 season, when Mike Wright was the quarterback and they were running it a lot, and they occasionally, at least in practice, I don't know that they did it a lot in games, they would have a couple triple option type of plays where they would put multiple running backs in the backfield. And what do you know? I mean, that's the one year out of his three so far where they actually had some modicum of success. When Lee took over in, I guess it was December 2020/January 2021, he talked about wanting to have tons of pre-snap movement and try to distract opposing defenders and all that sort of stuff, and then they just never really went with an offense that actually did that. So I think they're getting back to something that they really should have been doing, or at least something closer to this the entire time. Time will tell whether – I don't really know if they're going to have, like, the straight players and the talent, especially against the schedule this season, to be able to, like, go to a bowl game or anything like that. But I think that in terms of the process, this looks a lot more like an offense that I personally would prescribe to a program like Vanderbilt.
Robbie Weinstein with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So looking at the defensive side of the ball, we know that Clark Lee going to have his hands all over that this year, taking on the defensive coordinator role in addition to being the head coach. From a talent standpoint, from a depth standpoint, and with him taking over the reins as the defensive coordinator, how much improvement do you expect on that side of the ball this year? How equipped do you think they are to take a big step forward defensively?
Yeah, so I think the offense has a lot of questions with talent, but I think the defense actually could be pretty competitive, and part of that is the coordinator switch. I mean, Clark Lee was pretty much a consensus top 10 defensive coordinator in college football when he was at Notre Dame. Now, I think it's fair to question whether he will still be that a few years later when he hasn't done the job in a while, and well, he's also got all these extra responsibilities now as head coach of the team. But I do think that for sure the play calling and all that sort of stuff is going to be better now that he's in charge. They've also added a lot more depth, I think, specifically on the defensive line, and they should be better against the run game. They're pretty strong up the middle of the defense. Like Langston Patterson, I think, could push for all SEC honors. C.J. Taylor at safety, and Jericky Wright coming back after he had committed to Texas A&M originally as a transfer. They've got some pieces. I do have a lot of questions at corner, because Marlon Jones Jr. and Mark Davis Jr., who are two notable transfers who they brought in. Jones has a serious illness and is going to miss the season. And then Davis is injured right now, and his status is a little bit unclear. I don't really expect him to play anytime soon, if at all. So between that and kind of question marks on the edge in terms of pass rush, I think there are still some concerns, but overall, like depth-wise, I think they really improved through the transfer portal. And as a result, when you combine that with Lee calling the defense now, I think they actually could, you know, at least be in the top 50 nationally in defenses. But again, I think it's worth considering, hey, that sounds great on paper, but with this league and how stacked it is, especially with Texas coming in and being on the schedule for Vandy, you know, you could be in the top 50 or the back half of the top 50 defensively in the entire country and still be like 14th in the SEC.
What's your sense, Robbie, in terms of fan base? And I know it's two different things, but just fan base and administration, and how people are feeling about Clark Lee. Obviously, big changes this offseason, interesting changes. I think they had to change some things, right? But where do you sense people are just on Clark and where he is in terms of, you know, trying to really, I think, solidify himself at this point?
I think there's a divide between fans and what I view as the administration's likely viewpoint, because fans, I think, just see like, hey, there hasn't really been any progress, and the staff choices have been pretty terrible, to be honest, for the most part. The first staff was pretty good, and then they had some brain drain where a lot of guys got picked off by bigger programs, and some of the hiring decisions by Lee weren't very good, and here they are going 2-10 in the third season. But to me, I think the way that administration likely views it is that they did not give him the resources the first few years to be able to succeed, specifically the NIL setup and the effort put in by admin, because it's not just the coaching staff who needs to be dealing with that stuff. I mean, it was pretty brutal. They just didn't have any money at all. And I think good NIL does not guarantee success, but bad NIL probably guarantees failure. And so that was a big part of the issues over the last couple of years. The facilities are also coming along, I suppose. But to me, I think that probably administration wants to give him a long leash. He had that contract extension a couple of years ago, which now looks pretty bad. And at least, you know, maybe if you're them, you probably say, well, let's see what he can do now that he actually has the money to throw around in the transfer portal. Whereas fans, I think, you know, understandably are pretty pessimistic.
Well, Robbie, really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Great stuff as always, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
Robbie Weinstein from 24/7 Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rexler. We'll take your thoughts on what he had to say. Also get into a Will Levis, Calvin Ridley discussion up next. Is the Will Levis, Calvin Ridley connection going to define Levis's tenure as Titans quarterback? We'll get into that coming up next. Get half off to this family-owned Chicago restaurant right here in Nashville. Winners of numerous Best Of awards, this is truly one of the best-kept secrets in Nashville. Staley's Chicago Italian Dining brings amazing Italian food to the South, including original Italian beef sandwiches, Vienna Chicago-style hot dogs, and the best gyros south of Chicago. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $20 gift card while supplies last. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming. We've been throwing deep balls almost every day. Today we threw a couple of them, connected on them. I mean, just throwing it up and coming down with it. It's just pretty. He's pretty good at throwing a deep ball, man. Even if he's doing a great job with the deep ball.
On that last deep ball and team that you guys connected on?
I don't think it was no different than that post he threw. I just ran. Yeah. I mean, he's putting it out there. Only way I can get it. That's where we should have put it, so no one can get it but I. And I think he's doing an amazing job.
You think he's still learning your speed? Are you faster than maybe he thinks you are?
I don't think I'm just faster than everybody. I think my play speed is pretty fast. Yeah. I think I play fast. So I think he's getting it. I mean, yes, with the film part, I mean, we're trying to figure out what we can do. I'm changing my feet. I'm doing a lot of stuff so that I can be a step slower, faster, or whatever, you know, so that the time is getting there. But I think just the reps, us getting these reps, I told Coach, don't take me out. Let me get the reps. I mean, I'll deal with it another day, sore or not. But I just want to run for them, show them when I'm fast this day. I might be slow the next day. So I just got to get the reps with him, because every day is not going to be the same. His arm may be strong today, a little weaker tomorrow. I might be running fast, So it's a feel good thing too. So I like today. Today was a positive day. Let's see tomorrow.
That's Calvin Ridley yesterday, coming off the Titans practice field, discussing the connection between himself and Will Levis. Joe, we've talked a lot about that in camp. Obviously, you know, Ridley has the ability to go deep. He has the ability to make big plays down the field. It's going to be more than that. Like, he's going to have to be, you know, a big option for them in the intermediate routes as well. But I was thinking about this last night. Like, we know the receiving core as a whole beyond this year is a big question. Like, is Hopkins going to be back? What does Burks do this year? Boyd's on a one-year deal. Like, we don't really know what the receiving core is going to look like beyond this season. We do know that Calvin Ridley is going to be a part of it. Ridley has signed the big deal. He's going to be here this year. He's going to be here next year, probably the year beyond that. And when you start to project out with Will Levis, for me, it's really hard to get beyond this year and next year. Now, if things go really well, that's when you start to talk about the quarterback of the future. But it's this year and next year where you're trying to determine what he is and whether or not he's your quarterback of the future. And I had the thought last night, like, it kind of feels like to me, in a lot of ways, how he assimilates to Calvin Ridley and how those two gel together, probably in a lot of ways, is going to define whether or not he's the quarterback of the future for the Tennessee Titans. Like, it's not like there aren't other options. You know, he's got, I think, pretty clearly some good chemistry with DeAndre Hopkins when he's on the field. I think Boyd's had a nice camp, and you kind of know what he brings to the table. But Ridley is their guy. They're paying him to be their number one wide receiver. And if those two can get honed in together and establish themselves as a nice duo for the Titans, that probably is going to bode well for Will Levis. And if they can't, that probably is going to mean that he is not going to be the quarterback of the future. Like, those guys it's a critical relationship and critical chemistry that they've got to get figured out as this season goes along between those two guys specifically.
Yeah, I mean, they are the only – it's the only receiver we know who, if Levis is the quarterback for a few years, that we know will be with him, although I guess I might say, oh, NW, I'll be there too. You know, just count on him, just continue to be there. But, yeah, Hopkins, this could be it. Burks, this could be it. You know, they could be drafting someone next year. So I think that's a good point. I would say I can't think of it because I think if everything is good in terms of, again, protection, play calling, you know, and obviously Levis, I can't really think of a – I mean, I feel like it's a gimme that they will get to that. You know what I mean? Like I can't think of an example of where quarterback and receiver over time together, if they were good, didn't figure it out.
Yep.
So I would expect that to happen. I think maybe yesterday was a glimpse of, you know, them start kind of calibrating a little bit and synchronizing. But you're right. I mean it's going to be like Ridley could be catching passes. I mean it's possible next year Ridley could be catching passes from somebody else just because Levis isn't good enough. But yeah, can they become one of those really special connections in the NFL, like a really good connection? Hopkins, and I do think with Hopkins, it's like there's chemistry. But also with Hopkins, it really is like he doesn't have to be open. He'll like, you know, like
throw it in his area.
Yeah, and he's going to win so many of those. But with Ridley, he does have this gear. It was interesting to hear him talk about that on the clip there about play speed.
Yeah.
I think this is kind of what TD was saying in terms of, like, he's not a burner, like a deep guy, but on the field and pads and everything, he looks fast to me, and fast and sudden, both. And I can see how that would take a little time to get used to that if you're a quarterback.
Well, I was thinking about this. Like, obviously, you know, Tannehill had Derrick Henry, and Tannehill also had A.J. Brown in the heyday of kind of that era with Vrabel and all that. So there have been some extremely important connections and duos, or trios, whatever you want to call it. But like Ridley, in terms of just the franchise as a whole, you have paid a ton of money to Calvin Ridley to come be your number one wide receiver. And this is a quarterback that you've drafted to be your franchise quarterback. Like in terms of just the capital that you've put into it, combining the money and the draft position, like to me, offensively, this is the most important Titans duo that I can remember in a long time, just in terms of the investment level that you've got in those guys. Like they never gave A.J. Brown that second contract, obviously. They traded him away. So you're paying a lot of money to Calvin Ridley, and you've invested a high second-round pick in Levis to be your franchise quarterback. Like, just from a pure investment standpoint, this is a pretty – throughout Titans history, if you go back and look at it, it's a pretty crucial kind of duo that they've now established together here that they're heavily banking on working out.
Yeah, of course, A.J. was a second-round pick. Derrick Henry was a second-round pick, 3 years apart. And, of course, the Tannehill thing kind of comes into – I mean, I guess a comparison you could make would be 7 years ago, we would have been talking about Marcus Mariota and Corey Davis.
Yeah.
Can they be a session? But that's the thing. We didn't know at the time that, you know, that Corey Davis, frankly, was a solid receiver who never should have gone anywhere near where he went in the draft, right? And you kind of find that out over a few years. We know Calvin Ridley is, at his best, a big-time player. I mean,
yep.
A guy who produces at a high level, so – yeah, it is. It's a critical and the running backs, you know, they've got the tandem, a good tandem, and they've got other good players around. But yeah, it does. Those two have to work out really well. And some of these teams out here have, you know, like the Bengals, the Dolphins, they have multiple weapons, like obviously the Niners. But like
for now.
Well,
they'll still have multiple weapons.
Yeah, that's a thing. They'll take him away. They still have pretty good weapons, but this would be maybe more like, Well, kind of like the Bills, which is interesting because, of course, he's gone now. But, like, the Bills, it had to be great with Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, right? It had to be great.
Yep.
And then a guy like Gabe Davis takes advantage and makes plays, too. But that had to be special. You know, you have some quarterbacks who, whatever, you lose Tyreek Hill and you're still winning titles if you're Patrick Mahomes. That's right. Just a totally different category. But, yeah, like, Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin. I mean, you know, like, and there's other good players. They had a great running back too. But the wide receiver one, which is what he has been designated to be moving forward, the QB one. If he's going to be QB one, then he and the wide receiver one are going to be pretty good together.
Well, they're going to be pretty good together, and they all have that guy. Like you brought up Allen with Diggs over the years. Now it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out without him this year. Well, like, you know, Rodgers and Garrett Wilson. I mean, there's
before Rodgers and Adams was like, you know, probably as good as it got for a couple of years.
I mean, they all kind of. I mean, even a guy like Dak, right? Like Dak and CeeDee Lamb. Like they've all got that guy.
And Ridley's not as good as those guys.
Exactly.
Too, by the
way, that's the thing.
I mean, he's still a tier below those guys. A CeeDee, you know, Cousins and Jefferson.
Yep.
He's not that tier, but he's a good enough tier.
Yes.
To make plays
and they're
produce.
They're paying him to produce and to make plays. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Is the Levis Ridley connection going to define Will Levis's tenure as Titans quarterback? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Sounds take on Indianapolis. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Caudill Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up at 7:45. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. He was live in training camp for the Titans over the weekend, so we'll get his thoughts on what he saw from the Titans and his thoughts on the top storylines in the National Football League as well. Throwing the question out there, is the Levis-Ridley connection going to define Will Levis's tenure as Titans quarterback? Now, one texter says Levis and the offensive line will determine his future. Joey from Bellevue says, I think Levis should throw the ball to whoever's open. If you connect with the open guy, we should have a tough offense to stop. So a couple of texts there that don't necessarily correlate the success with Ridley to Levis's overall tenure. How do you view just the whole picture heading into this? Obviously, you know, it's not just as simple as Levis and Ridley. If the offensive line is total trash, then that's probably not going to give Levis much of a chance to succeed. So there's a baseline of adequate offensive line play that I think is naturally baked into this conversation that they're just going to have if any of them have any chance whatsoever. This offense this year I think is really interesting in terms of the weapons that they have at their disposal. Different guys, different skill sets, all of whom have proven when you're talking Boyd, Hopkins, and Ridley that they can get open and be productive players throughout their career.
Yeah. I mean, how many quarterbacks can you think of? Successful quarterback tenures. I'm sure, you know, people can come up with some, but there aren't many to me that come to mind where there wasn't a really good wide receiver one and a really good chemistry over years.
It's hard to do.
Tom Brady had some years with the Patriots where, I mean, he had some really good, I mean, look, like Edelman and those guys were really good, yeah. But you know, he had some years there where they didn't have a star receiver. And like we just said, Mahomes. Okay, so we got Brady Mahomes. Who else
now,
you got?
Those two guys also in years – and not to – look, I'm not trying to take away from either one of them because they're both great.
But
I'm just saying, like, those guys, even in years where they didn't have top-flight wide receivers, they arguably had the best tight end in the game, whether that was Gronkowski or Kelce.
Yeah,
so
and actually – yeah, and you know – that's a great point because really that's kind of who those guys were for them, right? Like they were such high-level players at the tight end position. You're talking about two of the best players ever at tight end.
Yeah, for sure.
That became the security blanket, so to speak, for them and still is for Mahomes, right? So, yeah, so – and the Titans, you know, right now don't have that guy on their roster. They have a couple of good, you know, young tight ends. But, yeah, Ridley is the long-term – you know, guy that, and look, and he hopes to prove that he at this point is still a high level of wide receiver in the NFL, and we're going to see. I mean, watch him in practice, take it for what it's worth. He's got a lot of juice, without question. So can that be a really good connection over time? I mean, all the texts are saying, of course, I agree. If you're, you know, if you can't set up to throw, and you have to have other conditions in place, but that is an important one.
Well, the Ridley part of this is really interesting too, because last year, I think we forget this sometimes in the conversation, and it's a fault of his own. I get it, but he missed the whole year in 2022 because of gambling. And the year before that, in 21, he only played 5 games. So you're talking about a 2-year stretch where he barely played football. And then he got back on the field last year and had 76 catches for over 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. I mean, you go back to 2020 when he was his age 26 season, 15 games, 90 catches, 1,374 yards, 9 touchdowns. Now, I'm not saying that that's what he's going to do here this year, but I am interested to see, like, is there another gear that he gets to this year just from the simple fact that he played football last year, and prior to that season last year, it had been basically 2 years since he had done anything on a football field.
Yeah, it's a great question because, yeah, he was really coming into his own there in that third season in the NFL with the Falcons, with Matt Ryan, throwing passes to him, and then just like you said, it all kind of fell apart. And for different reasons, some on him, and we can revisit this with Charles at the top of the hour, but remember he told us a few months ago, like, there are a lot of people who thought the Jaguars really botched it with him last year.
Yep.
And that's still – and so it was an underwhelming season. They did try to keep him by all accounts, but an underwhelming season that still, like you said, 76, 1,000, 13, 4 catch, 8 touch. That's good. That's good. A good year. Yeah. If that's a disappointing, you didn't use him right season, what does it mean if he is, again, not making the comparison, but in this offense, he is Ja'Marr Chase, right, basically.
He's playing that role, yes.
So I'm not saying he is him. He won't be him, okay, at this point in his career, and really at no point in his career is he as good as Ja'Marr Chase, but what does it mean if they use him and really can unleash him this year in this offense?
That's the thing, and like you said, if last year was a case of Jacksonville not using him properly and he still ended up with 76 catches, over 1,000 yards, and 8 touchdowns, does he have a season in him that is closer to what we saw in 2020 with 90 catches, almost 1,400 yards, and 9 touchdowns? Because if he has something like that in him, then that's a home run for the Titans. Like, if he approaches that, then that's a heck of a signing by Rand Carthon and the Titans, if he even approaches those numbers.
Yeah, and if he does, I would think that would have something to say about an offensive line that is at least decent.
Right.
And a quarterback. Which is still the biggest concern, and absolutely should be the biggest concern.
That
right
is
now.
Putting the ball
yeah,
where
and,
he needs
and Levis
to put
playing
it.
Well.
Right. I mean, say what you will about Matt Ryan, but Matt Ryan, pretty good quarterback.
Oh, I mean, with Atlanta, he was fantastic.
Exactly.
For many years.
Exactly. So, there's so much about this offense that really fascinates me, which is why I'm so over camp at this point and ready to get the real football going here. But like, I don't know that anything on the offense fascinates me more than Levis Ridley and what that's going to look like for the whole team. Like, to have a guy that has the ability to go deep and make plays down the field, like, they just really haven't had a guy like that. That plays a big – like, A.J. Brown could do it. A.J. Brown is good enough where he could do anything, right? Like, he can play any role you want him to play. But A.J. Brown is not, like, a speed burner guy. And I'm not saying Calvin Ridley is Tyreek Hill. But, like, their ability to go deep and attack vertically is something that I'm really looking forward to this year and to see how that plays out.
Yeah, to be clear – at least for me, I'll speak for myself. I would take A.J. Brown over Calvin Ridley.
I would too.
Okay. But yeah, it is different. And yeah, we had this kind of argument yesterday because on Jared vs. Joe a few weeks ago, Jared was talking about him as a deep threat, and TD's like, that's not really what he is. And there was, you know, like the stats kind of backed up TD as they always do. And then he had a deep shot yesterday, and Jared, of course, was like, he's like barking at me, you know. Well, he is – like, they're going to have him vertical. He's not – Like, again, I think Calvin really just described it perfectly. Like, if you put him out there now and timed him up in the 40, is he one of the top guys in the NFL? Probably not at his age. But play speed, I love that term, play speed. Vrabel use that term all the time. When he's out there playing football, again, it's fast and it's quick. It's both things. There are times when it's just like – and the connection, the connections that they've not been together on at times have taken some of these plays away, but – he gets ridiculously open at times. So I'm very excited to see him playing in this offense in a real football game.
Well, and it's not just the deep stuff, too. Like, he's a good route runner. Like, he's very good.
I didn't realize that until watching him out here.
On the route tree, like, he can do a lot of different things. And that look, that's if you're going to be a high-level wide receiver in the league, you got to be able to do that. And you've got to be able to really get defenders leaning one way and go another way, and he's really good at that. So I'm interested to see how that pays off. You know, when it's third and eight, you would think, like, if you could have decent protection, the Titans are going to have some options. Like, Hopkins does what he does, Boyd across the middle of the field, and then Ridley and the versatility that he brings. Like, you could see where if they can get an adequate level of protection, which is always seemingly the conversation with this team, that they're going to have the chance to be pretty dangerous throwing the ball if Levis can be on. And that's an exciting thing for Titans fans. It's just a different approach than we're used to seeing.
Yeah. No, D-Hop will be back, and he'll be there. I mean, and we've talked about Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd's going to get the ball a lot. Tyler Boyd's good. So, I mean, seriously, if the offensive line is fine, decent, pretty good, solid, anywhere in that range, I think the weapons and you expect the offense too. I mean, Henry says, if we put all the acquired weapons and offensive line concerns aside, do you think a lot of the Titans' successes and failures rest on the shoulders of Callahan's debut as a head coach? Sure.
Yeah.
This is his baby. This is his offense. He's calling the plays for the first time in this league. I mean, yeah, all that. And he's got to figure out how to adjust to the weaknesses, hide those, and emphasize the strengths and all that. And it's probably a pretty big deal for him to, with the weakness of this team that's been years and years now, the fact that he has the best O-line coach in the league, his dad coaching, it probably helpful to him.
No doubt. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. The Game Summer Ticket Tour presented by Green River Whiskey has one more tour stop left. Join Joe Dubin at Fog Street Lawn Club at 648 Fog Street today from 4 to 6 p.m. He'll have your chance to win free tickets to upcoming concerts in Nashville, including Weezer, Train, Dierks Bentley, and more. Also get signed up for the grand prize, which is tickets to a Preds home game, Sounds game, and to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
First of all, I ask better press conference questions than you do, and everybody knows.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah, you do.
I didn't hear the coach say, that's a good question, Joe, yesterday, but he did for me. I mean, consistently, my questions in press conferences lead to stories at ESPN.com and all this consistently, Joe, and you know it. I don't think Joe and Paul are so smart that they could have formulated some great question that would have got him to say anything more than what he was already prepared to say. I mean, what is, so is your favorite breakfast cereal, do you like Fruit Loops or do you like Corn Pops or do you, what was that tweet about? Like, what could they have done?
I guess maybe he is dumb.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. I think my favorite part of that whole thing, and everybody knows it, everybody knows.
And you know it. We all know it consistently.
ESPN.com, the ticker, always with my stuff.
Yeah, my goodness, amazing. I'm not ranting about Jared, by the way, but that was a nice mashup there, Connor, of some of Jared's. That's just recent. I mean, Jared's a gold mine of takes. But today, I am going to keep it to the NFL because you get a lot of emails doing this job from a lot of different people who have some of it's like, you know, Titans fans are the ninth most loyal fan or whatever, and it's a lot of okay. But I got this one the other day, and I gotta say, I had a lot of interest in this. This because this is actual data on pricing. This is actionnetwork.com, and they put together the best values in the NFL for families. Okay. So they went with the cost of four tickets, and I think they're trying to, you know, keep it to the same general area, right? So it's comparable. Cost of two beers, cost of two pops. They wrote soft drinks. I say pops. Cost of four hot dogs, so it's a family of four thing. Cost of parking, and then they also looked at like the child admission policy, but because it, you know, in some places, I guess at a certain age you're in free, but that's got to be very young, right?
Yeah,
if at all. So all those factors. Okay, so first of all, we'll talk Titans on that. Just give me your guess. Give me your guess. I just told you, four tickets, two beers, two pops, four hot dogs, parking. Tennessee Titans, what do you think the number is, and where do you think they rank in the NFL?
So four tickets, I will say the total number, $613. And they will rank 17th in the league.
Not bad, not bad. Let me look at 17th, by the way. 17th is 566. You're right in that category.
Okay.
Titans, 507, $507.96 for that cost, and they're eighth cheapest. Okay?
Okay. Well, that's pretty good.
And that, to me, is about, you know, where they should be. They should be among the top 10, I would say, cheapest, you know, just in terms of – now, this place is a very popular place for the opposing fan road trip, as
that's
we've talked about many, many
why
times.
I thought it might be a little bit closer to the middle.
But, you know, that I mean, that's a good value. But here's the thing about this where I'm just like, this is just blowing my mind, okay? So, first of all, the cheapest is the Arizona Cardinals.
Makes sense.
And that sounds about right.
Yep.
I mean, look, I have to go with, like, team success and demand and all that based on success. To me, that has to be part of this. Now, also where we are, where you are, should be something that you consider, you know, like cost of living. But I'm not surprised, for example, to see the Atlanta Falcons fourth, 487. Yeah. They famously have very cheap concessions. They have done – that's intentional on their part, and I think it's a good move. But this is the thing on the, this is where I'm just blown away. Like the Cincinnati Bengals – okay, they've been really good for a while. Now, they are notoriously cheap as a franchise.
Yes.
This has been a thing, but I give them credit because at what is now called Paycor Stadium, which I just realized, number two cheapest value in, or best value in the league, $474.42. Now, I'm going to go down to the very bottom of this list, almost the bottom. Number 31. The Las Vegas Raiders, Allegiant Stadium, $745.24.
Jeez.
And, you know, the excuse may be that you're in Vegas. I don't care. In Vegas, actually, Vegas is the place where if you're willing to gamble, you can go drink for free, smoke cigarettes for free, whatever you want. They'll comp your room. That's think about that. Raiders, a Raiders family, and, you know, Las Vegas does have people who live there, has to pay $745 for the same stuff that Bengals fans pay $470, $300 difference. The Dolphins, by the way, in Miami, which is a high cost, I mean, they're third at $480. Why are these teams able to do that? I mean, the Raiders, just another example of the Raiders just being just a trash organization now, which is really sad to see.
I mean, the one thing I guess that I would wonder about that, which is kind of, it's similar to what I wondered about here. Like, Vegas to me seems like a pretty popular, like, if you're a team, if you want to go watch your team play on the road, like, that would seem like a pretty popular destination. So does that affect the ticket part of it?
But, you know, that's the thing. That's the secondary market more anyway,
exactly,
right? Like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, this is supposed to be like what a family, again, when you're just going through the box office,
yep.
It's ridiculous. Like, the Niners are 32nd.
Well,
the Niners are great. It's San Fran. It's and you know it's Levi's Stadium. It's $750. So like I get that. The Eagles 30th. I get that. I think there is some correlation with demand and things like that in recent years based on performance. But the Raiders, man, no. Also, I will say, And this is going to change. See, this is – so this is a – obviously, this is based on, I mean, like last year's data, I believe, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like teams set new prices this year. I don't think they have that data. I'll make sure of that, but it's got to be from 2023. The Detroit Lions right now are the sixth best value. But they have absolutely jacked up all their stuff.
Oh,
so
yeah.
they will plummet down this list. But good job. Good job, Lions, at least realizing your stinkiness before now your little time in the sun before it all blows up.
Oh, it's interesting. So you said Atlanta was fourth on that list, Miami's three. Like, I mean, when I think about those two teams, but really those two cities, like I'm a Miami Heat fan. They have some terrible sports fans in Miami. Like the arena.
That's a good point.
Sucks. Like it's never full. Atlanta. Like if the Falcons aren't great, go look at the attendance at a Falcons game. Yeah. It's not good.
No, you're right. By the way, also interesting here, AFC South 7-8-9. Colts 504, Titans 507, Jags 516. Yeah, Houston.
Got to pay a little bit of price for that Milky Pool in Jacksonville.
That is true. Yeah, for the E. coli, the E. coli rebate, you know, on two hot dogs, you got to factor that into the whole thing.
How much the pool seat cost? Can you take the whole family in the pool?
Oh my goodness!
We'll fund your ER visit after.
Your tetanus shots are half off after you go into the Milky Pool.
That's very interesting. Like, I mean, there are people on the text line right now being like, wow, that's still too expensive for the Titans.
Well, that's
like,
the thing.
Are those nosebleed seats?
Right. I mean, well, that's the thing, too. It's like this also, all of this shows you, like, man. Yeah.
Well.
I mean, that's a $500-plus dollar day to, yeah, these are not good seats.
You want to know why stadium sizes when they're building new stadiums are going down and why the seating capacity is going down? Look no further than that, right?
Right, exactly.
Like, it's, I mean, going to games is fun. But saving $500 and watching NFL football on your couch when you can go to the bathroom anytime you want is also fun.
Exactly. So it's – and then the new stadium. Well, they just had a thing on Good Morning Football about the mosh pit.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the new stadium, and it's like the Golden State Warriors' new place. I mean, it's an entertainment bar district
yep.
with also a game there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of what you have to do. Jackson says, honest question, why do you guys talk about Stillwad so much? Interesting name. Just ignore him. He's a tool. First of all, we love Jared. He's our coworker. I didn't bring him up.
No.
He just was part of the mashup. But he has some funny stuff, you know?
It's all good. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and all things NFL. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's up, fools? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself. Let's chump.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.